generation or even older, you probably have heard numerous lessons on this subject, the work of the church, what's the church supposed to do? And a lot of that emanates from the issues that occurred back in the 50s and the 60s and with the question of what is the work of the church. And during that time, there were a lot of inventions that were brought into this heading, the work of the church, and it led to a major division. Now, things have a tendency to repeat themselves. The issues that happened back in the 50s and the 60s and early 70s will inevitably come up again because in their core, they are dealing with the question of the authority of God's word. Why is it we do the things that we do, and why is it we don't do the things that we don't do? And so it's important, and I'm reminded as we've talked about this in 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter says, I put you in reminder of these things. I put you in remembrance of these things because he understood that his time here was short. And being short, he wanted a congregation that knew these principles, knew these truths, to be able to recollect them whenever they needed. And so we have adopted that principle in regards to the subject of authority and the subject of the work of the church. Now, what we've done over the past several weeks is we have done a sub-series of that series. And it talked about the work of the church, specifically in strengthening the saints. We have detoured to the subject of church discipline. Because this is a subject, as we noted in the very first lesson, that we have moved away from biblical teaching on church discipline. It has become the forgotten command, where people just don't think about it and they don't practice it, and churches are finding themselves corrupted and affected by the leaven of sin within its core. And so it's important for us to talk about this subject. Now, we started by talking about and identifying that it is a command that has been forgotten. Then we proceeded and we discussed last week who is to receive discipline, and we have identified some things, and we'll just kind of review those for a few moments. But tonight really is, I think, the most application-oriented of these lessons in regards to discipline. And so I will have a lot of material. This will be my last Sunday night before I move to Sunday morning. So there'll be quite a bit of material that we'll go through. But we'll, hopefully, as I planned it, it will be plain and understandable. People readily accept in secular society, as well as within religion, that there are organizations or groups that must have some means of correction. They must have some means of removal if that correction is not heeded. For example, a lawyer can be disbarred. He can be disbarred if he has been found to be fraudulent in regards to money of his clients. And if he commits a felony of some kind, he can also be disbarred for that. We look at athletic associations, and athletes can be suspended, they can be fined, or they can be removed for certain behaviors. And what's interesting about that is it doesn't have to be behavior on the field or on the court. It can also be behavior just in everyday life that reflects negatively on the parent association. Or you talk about a doctor. A doctor can lose their medical license. They can lose their medical license for sexual misconduct, for substance abuse, for other types of violations and unethical behaviors. Now, some of these might be rare, but they are possible. And in fact, if we looked and examined organizations across the board, you will find that there is inherent a process. You can talk about teachers, that there's a process to remove teachers. Even teachers that have tenure, yeah, it might be a lot more difficult, but there can be a process that is there. But what's ironic is when we talk about religion, when we talk about the church practicing church discipline, quote unquote, the concept of, well, correction or removal is something that is very negative. In fact, I came across an article, and the article was entitled "Kicked Out of Church." And it was a woman that was writing from her first person situation of what happened when she was disciplined. And she came back to church, if you would, but it's interesting what she wrote. She said, "Everyone was shocked. Whenever I told people my church had kicked me out," by the way, kicked me out is not necessarily a biblical phrase. But she says, "When they kicked me out, they unanimously expressed outrage. They said things like, 'How could they be so cruel?' Or, 'What a bunch of hypocrites!' Or, 'Who are they to judge you?'" She continued, "Without fail, my audience would look at me with pity and affirm how sorely mistreated I had been." And she says, "And I knew that they would spread news of this injustice far and wide." But you know what? When we look at the church and Christians' reactions, I think sometimes Christians are not far removed from that. I've heard Christians say, "Well, no, church and church discipline, shouldn't practice it because that's unloving." Or they'll say, "Who am I to judge?" Or my favorite, "It's only going to push them farther away." Or, "It doesn't work." Do Christians realize that Jesus gave instruction on discipline? Do we not realize that the Apostle Paul gave instruction on church discipline? Don't we realize that the Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, "Now we command you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you keep away from a brother who is walking in idleness." Now when Paul says "we command you," what's interesting there is he elevates that command to every other command that we have. So when we have the command to assemble on the first day of the week, guess what? It is equal to that. It's a command given by God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the apostles writing down. Or when we're commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper, or when we talk about anything that God has commanded us, what Paul says is this is equal to that. So if we don't assemble on the first day and we violate that command out of a sense of rebellion,